Let's continue in Koheles, Perikid Beis, beginning of Jib Beis. Of course, all of the chapters are not a Jewish convenience, but it is used in Tanakh. It's helpful to be able to find things, but it's not actually significant per se. And if you notice, the very beginning, Uzachar, is connecting to the previous part. So it's important to reestablish the context over here. In fact, the previous pasuk, Yud Aleph Yud, the end of chapter 11, verse 10, also is connected, Vehaser, and remove. So to really get the proper context, we should go back two verses just to see what we're talking about. So let's review in Yud Aleph Tes before we get to Yud Beis Aleph. So chapter 11, verse 9, Bachor Bialdusecho. Rejoice, lad, in your youth. V'tivcha libcha b'mei v'churosecha. And be good to your heart in the days of your young manhood. V'haleich b'darchei libcha. And go in the pathways of your heart and in the sights of your eyes. Yivi'acha ho'elohim b'mishpat. This is the wisdom of King Solomon, that he really lays it all out for you. He is not shying away from the raw potential of humanity to do good or evil. Just, you want to pursue evil? You are empowered to pursue evil. You have free will. You can make that choice. But know that there will be judgment. God will bring you to an accounting for everything, for all of your choices. All of your choices. You want something, there's going to be an accounting. That doesn't have to be always only black and white, good and evil in an absolute sense. It could be a choice that is within a gray zone. Many choices are within a gray zone. Certainly, a lot of people perceive that and have a hard time discerning what the consequences will be. That requires chachma, wisdom, to actually see what the consequences will be. But there's a lot in between what is obviously good or not good. And the idea that everything will be subject to mishpat, to an accounting of judgment, that highlights the essential gift of humanity of Bechira, of free will. Very interesting introduction to a memoir by Rabbi Mordechai Elephant. I want to read from this introduction because I think it's relevant to this idea. People generally know me as a Rosh Yeshiva, dean of a rabbinical seminary. After all, that's what I've been for over three decades. A Rosh Yeshiva of a high-level yeshiva generally has to be a good administrator, a high-quality Talmudic scholar, and a spiritual figure. But I don't kid myself. I know I'm not a spiritual model for my students, nor do I ever make out that I am. Back in the 70s, 1970s, I added some of the greatest Jewish religious scholars of our day to my staff, men like Rav Shmuel Auerbach and Rav Shlomo Fischer. They are geniuses and saints. I am clearly not a man of their caliber. I was speaking back then with another Rosh Yeshiva, someone I have the highest regard for. He asked me, "How can you bring people like that in? Don't you realize you're going to be overshadowed?" I told him, "That's the difference between you and me. You see it as a career. It could be a Rosh Yeshiva as a career. I'm in it for the sake of heaven." He wanted to make the best yeshiva he could make. If he can hire real stars, they'll overshadow him. So what? If there is one experience in my life that I have to single out as being formative, I would say that it was something that took place not long after I got married. I was a student at Beis HaTalmud at the time, absorbing the teachings of my mentor, Rav Leib Malin. Leib Malin. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. Rav Shirkin also learned in Beis HaTalmud by Rav Leib Malin. He said that he learned from the Brisker Rav and Mashkiach Rav Yerucham. And he said on himself, Rav Shirkin said himself, "I'm sugar and marmalade." Rav Leib Malin, like bleach and ammonia. That's what he said. In any event, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had founded Beis HaTalmud a few years earlier, gathering together in one place some of the finest Talmudic minds to have survived the Holocaust. Beis HaTalmud was located then in a ramshackle synagogue on Jerome Street in East New York. Rav Malin ran it on a shoestring budget. I walked in one morning and saw Rav Leib himself preparing a toilet. He noticed the look on my face and realized that I thought that what he was doing was not in keeping with his dignity. The Rav Elephant over there is a younger man, newly married, sees Rav Leib Malan fixing a toilet, Rish Yeshiva, thinks it's pasnish for Rish Yeshiva. He sat me down and told me the secret of life. He said, let me tell you something I heard in the name of Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm. He was a teacher of the Rav Yerucham Lubavitz. God keeps very exact accounts of what we take from this world. We don't get anything for free other than life itself. Any person who is the least bit honest with himself understands how unworthy he is. At the same time, he's running up a big debt. Nothing is free. Not a sip of water. Not a breath of air. How do we stand a chance? There's only one way. You have to view life as a big luxury hotel. They're charging you left and right. It's great. But there's going to be a huge bill when you check out. There's only one guy who enjoys the delights of the hotel without paying. That's the waiter. The waiter is devoted to serving others. He's always smiling and ready to help. He's at the beck and call of the guests. He runs to help one, then runs to help the other. But when he takes a break, he can go to the kitchen and make himself a sandwich with two thick steaks in it. Nobody looks, nobody cares, nobody charges him. He's a staff, he's working. He's working for the hotel. So he can have all the amenities, all the luxuries without being charged. He's working. So that was the secret of life that Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm transmitted to Rav Leib Malan that through Rav Yerucham to explain this idea. He's there, he's working on a toilet. He's part of the help. He's here looking for how he can do something to bring out God's vision for this world. God is, so to speak, the owner of the hotel. He's got a plan. If you're on staff, so then you're not being charged. You're busy helping. What you get on the side, you know, that there's coverage. You're working for the owner of the hotel. He's not a client. He's not on vacation. He's working. So Rav Leib Malan fixing the toilet, that's not something that should be perceived as beneath him, saying, I'm staff. This is what's needed at the time. How can I help? What does God want me to do right now? The toilet needs fixing, and that's what needs to be done. He did not feel it to be in any way a degradation. That's the role that he understood for himself. And that's back to his own story of Mordechai Elephant. He's saying, so I'll be outshined by greater Talmid Chachamim. He's a big Talmid Chacham, by the way. Big Eloi. He's being very anidistic over here. Very humble. He was an Eloi, no question about it. So what? You have bigger luminaries that he can bring into the yeshiva. He's in it for the sake of heaven. He's staff, like a waiter at the hotel. So back to our verse. Back to our pasuk over here. Again, for the introduction, back to getting to the beginning of your base. Rejoice. Look at what's good in your eyes. But know, on everything you'll be brought to justice and judgment, that's not a free pass. It's not a free pass. And in fact, it's understood in a severe way. It could be judgment that will entail punishment. But if the person is relating to these things in a manner that is consistent with his role as a servant of God, the enjoyment is not something that will be held against him in any way. If it's within the framework of his service, he'll be held innocent and not be required to pay, so to speak. So that's important, that if a person has that identity and, of course, means it, lives up to it, he's Eved Hashem, servant of God. So that's a different relationship. He's eating a steak and he's eating a steak, but it's not the same. Okay, so then that's the first verse for the introduction. And then the next pasuk, V'ask Mili Bechos, and remove anger from your heart. That is the way Rashi, the Targum rather, gives a translation of Sa'adi, Regiz Milipchon, and remove anger from your heart. The way Rashi renders it is a little bit different. V'haser Kas, Dvarim Hamachisim Esa Malkum. Remove from your heart those things that anger God. You have to align yourself, purify yourself, that your heart should be entirely aligned with the will of God. nullify your own inclinations to be consistently aligned with God, with his will. It's removing anger from your heart, so that, like Targum says, that would be consistent with removing the impetus for anger, which in the context of youth, there is a hubris that often comes together with youth. A person sees a meteoric rise of increasing strength, increasing power, sophistication, skill. That trajectory does not continue indefinitely, but it can create a delusion of grandeur that the youthful one could be prone towards anger through the haughtiness of this perceived unending meteoric rise. A little bit of wisdom, recognizing that this is not the actual expectation, would be helpful. So remove the anger from your heart. Behavior ra'a mibsarcha, and remove the evil from your flesh. Kiyaldos v'ashachrus havel, for youthfulness and the blackness of black hair, or like the morning shachar, the early point. This is not one's essence. This is not to be expected to continue. This is a stage. Recognize this is a stage. Every stage needs to be used in the right way, but a person should not become intoxicated and have a sense of distortion, thinking that this will continue. That's not the nature of the human experience. Now, coming to our pasuk, Uzachar, and remember, Es Borecha, remember your creator. And remember your creator, Targum introduces what this remembrance is for. Bimei b'churosecha, in the days of your young manhood. What are you remembering? Usehei dechir yas bar yach. Remember your creator, liyakruse, to give him glory. Biyome ravusach, in the days of your growth, of your youth. A person is in this context, in order to succeed, it's important to not lose sight of your creator. Ad asher lo yavo'u yimei hara. It's a bit of a complex structure. Until that which does not come, the days of evil, meaning remember your creator in your youth, to give him glory, to make choices that would be a kiddush Hashem, give nachas, give satisfaction to your creator. Remember that before you come to the days of evil, before the person's youth dissipates, v'higiyu shanim, and the years arrive, asher tomar, that you will declare, ein li vohem chevetz, I have no desire in them. The Targum says, ad lo yesun levasach, until does not come to you, yimei vishus, the bad days, v'yimtun aloch shinin disemar leis li vohon ravo, and comes upon you the years that you shall declare, I have no desire within them. That's the years of age, infirmity. Ramban speaks about this, doesn't quote the verse directly, but just speaking about this concept. Ramban, besides being a great Torah scholar, also as a physician, iron and copper are your shoe, and as your days, which Unklus introduces, ulei masach, the days of your youth, your days. People say, in our day, right? In the days of one's youth, like your days of your youth should be the days of your sorrow, the days that one is anticipating to be in sorrow. Ramban writes a number of things. I'm not going to quote the whole Ramban, but he says, gam efshe v'nochon hu, ma shepir shebo, shu hefuch min davo nefesh, vikri me zikna davon. The days of one's age are called davon, is this sorrow. Ki hem yimei hara v'atzar, the days of one's age, they are days of evil and suffering. They're a time of retreat from life. The days of one's youth are called his days, for they are his, them to rejoice in them. Ulehetiv libo, and to be good-hearted. Hine hatam, behold the reasoning. Kumei eldusecha tizik nesecha. This blessing, the Zos HaBracha, is saying, like the days of your youth shall be the days of your old age. That is a blessing. It is beyond what is expected. This is an illusion that there shall be established his tranquility and his honor, all that he is on all the days of the land, his days on the land. Like the days of your youth, the days of your age. And the Targum Yerushalmi is exactly what I'm explaining. The Ramban says that Uchiyomecha Davecha is the blessing that a person should have their old age, the experience like their youth, which is counter to the expectation. That's a special blessing. So over here in our Pasuk, we are being exhorted. King Solomon is telling us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, when we have our power, the days to be of rejoicing heart. Remember our Creator, to give Him glory, to use our ability to choose. Our Bechira is maximized. In our youth, you have the most choices. You can do anything. Don't forget your Creator. You need to remember your Creator before the days of evil, of lack, sorrow, and the years where a person has no desire. Let's see Rashi. Zuchar es borecha. Taman taninon perkei avos. It's taught in the Mishnah, per Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Akavi ben Mahalalel Omer, Stakel b'shlosh dvarim chulu. Person should look at various elements of their existence to help draw them towards this remembrance of their Creator. God is hidden. He's Nalam in the universe. God is extraordinarily humble. How can you remember God? So Akavi ben Mahalalel tells us to look. Mikra Zadarash. And he is deriving his exposition from this verse. Zachor es borecha, remember your Creator. That you will give an accounting and be held to justice for your choices. Zachor es borecha. You can also look at the word borecha, which has an aleph. Your Creator, bore, without the aleph, can look at it as borecha, which is a reference to the grave, one's grave. Kvarcha, mokom afa rimo visole, a place of earth, worm, maggot. That obviously is a very stark image that a person shouldn't overdo, but sometimes that is important to hold oneself back from sin. Shinavata mimikoro, utipa srucha, shazer, shaluma. Look at your extraordinarily humble beginnings before you were this young, strong, powerful person. With all these choices, you were essentially nothing. Yemei hara'a, the days of evil. Yemei zikna bechulshus, the days of one's old age and weakness. That is Rashi. Let's take a look at the Matsudas. Behase, oh, that's, sorry, the previous pasuk. And our pasuk, Aleph. Uzuchar es borecha, es hamakom baruchu, God, asher baruchu, He created you. It's a very straightforward connection. Creator and creature. Oso bar bimei habachros. Remember Him in the days of your young manhood. Ba'od akoch b'yadcha, leches b'dak Hashem l'avdo. You still have the power in your hand to go forth in the ways of God and to serve Him. When a person is elderly, weak, infirm, he doesn't have the same power and the same strength. Seize the opportunity while you have it. Ad asher terem shavo yimei hara, before the days of evil, and yimei zikna tashus koch, the days of one's elderly experience of weakness. Ki az yekshe me'od yoser yimei b'achot. Then it will be much harder than in the days of one's youth. Person can accomplish so much when they're young. When they're older, it's much harder. And the years will arrive. At that point, in one's older years, they have an experience that they do not have the desire or the will. This is a very despondent view, but he says, in the greatness of one's weakness, he could even prefer death. And at a certain point where he feels that his experience is so bleak, that is obviously not the experience of youth with opportunity, vivaciousness, capacity, but in weakness and in sickness, pain. So, like the Rambam writes, it's important for us to maintain our health. A person can only serve God properly in a state of health. And the tendency, it's not universal. We saw the blessing, Moshe's very special blessing. Like your days of youth, so shall be in your older days that are typically filled with infirmity and sorrow. But that is a blessing. It is not a birthright. Oh, welcome. Please help us for the chametz. Let's take a look at the Ben Ezra. Im yismuchu lo yishtan. Yimei hara, hem yimei hazikna lezaki, v'yimei acholi lakal. Hu acholi shiyamos bo. The days of evil, the Ben Ezra interprets as twofold. The days of one's age for the elderly, and the days of one's illness that applies to everybody. And that is the illness that one will ultimately die from. Not everybody makes it to old age. And this, of course, alludes to a different mission of Pirkei Avos. Do tshuva one day before you die. No one knows when that's going to happen. So return to God. And that's the choli shiyamos bo, not only in the context of zikna. Remember your creator and your strength. You never know what's going to happen. The Talmud Chochma says, Zchores Borecha, remember your creator. Okay, so Talmud Chochma over here is being taken over by the Alshech, slightly different style. Kiloma, v'af im lo asisa kein b'mei aldusecha, chatasa b'aldusecha. Even if you didn't do what you should have done in your youth, and you sinned in your youth, nonetheless, remember your Creator to return to Him in the days of your young manhood. So there's different stages of development. He's differentiating here between Yaldus and Bacharus. Yaldus is childhood, a younger immaturity, and Bacharus is one's strength, the prime. Remember to do tshuva for errors you made in your foolish youth. Don't wait until the days of evil, kodem shavo yisur nalecha, before you are stricken with suffering. Well, as our sages have stated, le'ol mivakesh adam rachamim, a person should always pray for divine mercy, that he should not become ill. Shim yachle, because if he does become ill, omrim lo, they'll say to him, Gemara and Shabbos, Lamed Beis Medalef, now he's in a state of sickness, he wants to get healed, bring a merit. You want to get healed? What do you deserve to be healed for? It's much easier to pray for mercy to not become ill. And that's the good advice. A person is davening and they're in great health. Remember to daven for mercy that you maintain your good health. It's much easier than clawing out of it with a demand of merit from a position of sickness. So return to God before you're writhing in pain and saying, no, help me now. Return to Him while there's no pressure. That is much better. That will spare. That doesn't require so much. That is a much better plan. And the years come that a person will say, I don't have any desire within them. Hainu imei zikna. That is the days of one's old age. Amagam im kashalta bavanecha. He says, even if you have stumbled in your sins, see to it that you fix and remedy that which you have done that was crooked. Now that you're in old age, lasha b'tshuva. At the very least, even in old age, don't say it's too late. You could return to God at any point. Don't say what benefit, what gain is there in this return to God. There's no choice. A person is not empowered in a state of illness and sickness to do what they did foolishly in their youth. And now they want to do tshuva and say, hey, what does it help? I can't even do what I did then anyway now. Nonetheless, even though it's not the highest madriga of tshuva, one is still required to do tshuva. It is a mitzvah matarah for a Jew. Do tshuva. Do your part. So what? You can't do the averes you did before. Still regret them. Do vidui. Kabbalah asid, even though that Kabbalah is perfunctory. I mean, you can't do it anyway. But so what? Kabbalah on the asid, acceptance for the future to do right in the future, to not fall into the same traps in the future. If a person is not within the capacity to make the same errors they made before, it's not nearly as valuable, but still, it's a tshuva. A person is required to do tshuva, even if not in their youth right away, in their young manhood, and if at the very end, in their old age, never despair of doing tshuva, even if it doesn't have the same gleaming, shining qualities of restoration, where a person's Kabbalah really is at their bechira, it's at their choice. They don't have a choice to do that anymore, whatever they did wrong. And when they're old, they have less opportunities. So what? Do tshuva. You do your part. You have to return to God. Even if the return is lacking and that the capacity to continue in those sinful things is lacking. Let's see this far now. To commit yourself. Invest in investigation and deed for his honor. A person should be committed. Remembering God means putting in the work and the effort, both in Limud HaTorah, other forms of investigation, whatever it is, what one explores and when one chooses to engage in should be oriented towards honoring God. Eschew evil. You can push it aside, believe Chabotov and choose what is good. You have the choice either way. It is true Bechira. You can really choose. As our sages said, do while it is now available in your hand, and you are in your hand, you have the full choice. That is the most important time to make the right choices. This is the ingathering of strength, meaning the diminishment, taking away of strength in one's old age. And the days come that a person will say, that you shall say, I have no desire within them. At this point, a person has no desires for any of the desires of this world. It won't be such a choice of righteousness. So you hold back from sinning. You have no desire anyway. As our sages say in multiple places, that if the thief doesn't have the opportunity, so he will present himself as a man of peace. He wasn't able to steal. So he says, oh, I'm really honest. That's why I didn't steal. He didn't have the opportunity. Right? Like we just had an attack against the people in the land of Israel. Hundreds of attacks. And those who sent the attack said, after they were thwarted, they said, we were very careful not to attack and target any civilians. Yeah, right. Believe it. That's the Ganav. He says, oh, I'm a peaceful person when he doesn't have the opportunity. So in a position where a person doesn't have the opportunity to sin, of course, as we've been saying this theme, it's important to return to God, whatever the circumstance. But the opportune time really is when the bechira is still there. The choice is still there. The opportunity is still there. That's when one can do tshuva gemura, a complete tshuva. That is the ideal. A person should not let that opportunity to slip away. Let's see the Medrash. Kohelis Rabbah. V'hoseh kas milibecho. And remove anger from your heart. Omar Rabbi Levi. So again, this is the previous verse. So let's go to our verse. Well, actually, the same way the Pasuk has the Vav as a connector, so these two verses are connected to the Medrash as well. V'hoseh kas milibecho. Remove anger from your heart. That's the previous verse. Amar Rabbi Levi, kol tilui siri, kol siri tapshon. Amar Shlomo hoil, layal shachros havel. King Solomon is saying, inasmuch as youth is fleeting, lefikach, therefore, uzachar es borecha, and remember your creator. Tenenon akavim mehala, mehalalo. We have, so on Rashi, quoting Midrashim Gemaras, this idea of extrapolating from this verse, remembering your creator, And before whom you are ultimately to give an accounting and a judgment. You'll be judged before God, the Creator. The King of King of Kings, He is the Holy One, blessed be He. All of these three angles, how to remember your Creator, were derived from this verse. Borcha, Be'ercha, and Boracho. Borcha zu lecha srucha, your pit. Here is being described as your source, if you will. Be'ercha is referring to your grave. Zu rima v'soleya. Baracha, and your Creator, is then Melech 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 Baruch Hu. This is the Holy One, blessed be He, King of Kings, that you in the future will be held accountable and need to be subject to His evaluation, His judgment. S. Baracha, and therefore it is stated, you shall remember your Creator, b'mei b'churasecha, in the days of your youth, ad techelach alach, while your valor is upon you, while you're in a position of strength. Before the days of evil, these are the days of one's old age, and the years arrive. This is referring to suffering. Another interesting interpretation. What are these years? These are the days of Mashiach, the Messianic era. There's a machlokes, what will be in Yimos Mashiach. But he's saying not merit and not guilt. In the days of Mashiach, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar and Chenyu, the Machlokes, the way he's interpreting it is the days where there is no desire, towards sin. In the future, when the Yitzhar will be shechted, whether that's consistent with the Yimos Mashiach or Olam Haba, exactly when that's taking place, the idea that we will not be empowered with the same free will is a return to the paradisical state when the evil inclination was not internalized. The snake could come up to you, try and sweet talk you into eating that fruit, but you could just walk away. It's not you. It's very clearly external to you. Afterwards, the person is clouded and thinks that it's their own self-interest. So there's a lack of clarity. A person has chafetz, they think it's their own desire to do which is not consistent with serving God. In the days of Mashiach, he says, will they be lacking schus and chova because they're the years, yigiyu shanim, that a person will say, I don't have desire within them, I have no evil inclination within that context. And the opportunity to have full-fledged bechira will be diminished. In fact, that is almost one of the arguments that the commentaries say, why did they decide to take the plunge? Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, why did they decide to go for it? God said, don't do this. I mean, come on. Well, if they do it, they're going to get so much reward if they do the right thing afterwards. And of course, they want to do that. So there's a certain argument to be said. It's not a good idea because just listen to God. That's the best idea. Don't make calculations that you'll gain more on the rebound. Just listen to God. It's much better, much less painful. He really has it right. When he told you not to do something, just listen. But the idea of Higiyu Shanim, these years will come when a person doesn't have desire. They don't have the desire. Yimos HaMashiach, in the Messianic era, which again, controversial, but the way he's describing it, Rabbi Chiya Bar Nechemya, there's no schos, no chova. A person doesn't get a reward for not, a normal person, does not get a reward for not sticking their hand over the burner with a flame on high. Why? Because it's nothing they would ever entertain anyway. It's so obviously self-destructive. They would never do that. They're not holding their hand back. That fire looks so enticing. And they're not going to get a reward for doing that, which is nothing. There's no inclination in that direction for a normal person. So in the Messianic era, when there's no chafetz, no desire towards evil, there would be a lack of bechira to a degree. A person could choose to do the wrong thing, but it's not something that they would entertain. It's not something they would struggle with, and there is no schus and chova, or minimal schus and chova, in that context. So, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Nechemya, we're being encouraged in the days of our youth, in our current situation. Like the Ramban said in his disputation in Barcelona, he said, yes, of course, we anticipate the Messianic era, but don't think for a second that our current existence is devoid of the potential to genuinely serve God. We, of course, do have that opportunity, and we should seize that opportunity. A person can be tremendously successful in the here and now with the struggles and challenges and handicaps, whatever you want to call it. But don't discount that. Don't be focused on a future world in a way that takes precedent, that a person is not recognizing the value of where they are right now. For him, it was in Spain. For us, where we are. But in spite of the anticipation for Yemos Mashiach, Chai Olam Haba, the value that our sages place one moment in this world, in this existence, even in the galus, in a situation of darkness, a situation where a person has chefetz, is inclination towards evil, a person is endowed with bechira, with free will, and a person needs to do their utmost to achieve, align themselves, to fulfill the will of God, and to avoid things that are moving in the wrong direction, the opposite way. Gain for yourself merits, that's not the goal, but that is the result. The result of this current situation, where you do have conflict and you have struggle, don't ignore the current situation and view it as something that is bad or something like that. You have an opportunity, unique opportunity now, even if in God's great wisdom, it wouldn't have been his choice. He would have just, had we listened, Aaron and Chava listened, then they wouldn't have had the degree of schus or chova. Okay, but now that we are where we are, so we have to take the opportunity in the struggle to remember our Creator. That is our mandate. That is what we're required to do before that opportunity is lost. A person shouldn't say, you know, what's going to be, you know, later on, I'll shape up. You don't know, you know, we anticipate Melech Mashiach coming, anticipate the Messianic era, we anticipate Chai Olam Haba, but these things are an existence that will not yield the same bechira, the same free will that we have now. Now, with the struggle, is the opportunity. So that's something that we should not run away from. We shouldn't downplay. We need to rise to that challenge.
What's the purpose of the final?
The final what?
Or the final partial phrase for childhood and youth are futile.
Well, that's describing why a person should not view their current state as continuing indefinitely. It's a state of an upward trajectory. In youth, a person is consistently getting stronger, more empowered, more potential. And that is a trajectory that if you extrapolate it out, I mean, that can really get to your head. He's saying this is a phase that is not going to continue. It's hot air in the sense that it's not, you don't expect this to keep going on. Just over that hill is over the hill.
Yeah, that makes sense. The admonishment is to banish angers and remove evil.
Yeah, don't let it get to your head.
Temporary.
Right, exactly. That's why Havel is a good translation. It's just like vapors are not substantive. They don't. They're just ethereal. That's the idea. Havel.
And actually, yeah, temporary is a better translation in this case. Although it does mean you go out of place similar.
Sure.
Futile is better in other contexts, and that actually gives me hope for Chabal Havalim forever. It's not actually that. Think about it. Shacharot and Yaldut are not bad.
Not at all. They're good. A tremendous opportunity.
Tremendous opportunity. So Havel in that case is not bad. It's just right. Temporary.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
So this is an important distinction, and this translation I think failed to make that distinction.
Okay.
Your explanation is much.
It's always a challenge with any translation. It's different nuances.
He sensed that, though.
They only have so much space on the page.
Yeah.
They're just trying to.
Yeah, there's another paragraph that I think might be valuable to share from Chaye Olam relating to some of these ideas. the stapler Gones collection, chapter 25, he says, the spread of crooked ideologies among the masses proceeds in a natural progression. As we've explained, aval be'emes, but in truth, yesh od siba nistaras l'kolzeh. There is another hidden cause of all this. And you look around and say, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. He's trying to help understand and unpack that. Kikamosha ala tzedikim shomrei Torah, just like on the righteous who strive to maintain and uphold the Torah, shleimus dvekim ba, in a complete wholesome manner, to cleave to it, shor ruach kedusha ba'or ha-Torah. Upon those tzedikim, they are engulfed in a spirit of holiness and the light of the Torah, of enlightenment, divine enlightenment. Kemo kein, in a similar way, al horke altar, for those that take away the yoke of the Torah, shor ruach hatuma, they are dwelling in a state of a spirit of impurity. Asher karo chazal yitzhar, that the sages have called the evil inclination. So in a state when one is rejecting divine wisdom, this is choosing to become enmeshed in the Yitzhar, to be clothed in and soaking in a ruach tuma, a spirit of impurity. Asher niten lo rishus lehatos l'babel esadatz, which is given the authority by embracing this ruach tuma. One is exposing themselves to error and a confusion of knowledge. Lema l'choshech ar, to declare that which is darkness light. Kumosha amru chazal, as our sages taught, balbasra tazayim, shayitzahara yored mita. The evil inclination goes down and deceives. Oleo margis, it ascends and angers. Ki olam hazeh kulo, in this world, in its entirety, this is the world of test, of struggle, and in this context of struggle, abolatayer mesayinos, Gemara says, in Yuma, lamechesim edbeis, one who comes to purify himself, he is given assistance. If someone comes to become impure, it's open to him. He's given the permission, not that he has a right to, but he is given the opportunity to choose impurity. V'tire, that is our world. This is the world of the struggle, of the choice, of bechira, of free will. Tire, and see, she'oso poke, that person who has rejected divine wisdom, asher yimayin lahamin b'torah sinek dosha, who has held back from accepting, believing our holy Torah, kabolas avosov midor ador. So if you have somebody that rejects the Torah, the tradition that we've received from our ancestors, generation to generation, and he's rejected that, yamin b'chol hevleshav, he will, in that vacuum, come to believe all of the vanities, the foolishness, ridiculousness. He's going to come to embrace these ideologies that are outrageous. Kimo, for example, lahadbik habarzel shetachas raglesus, shekarin podkava, some superstition, putting up a horseshoe for good luck, al miftan beso, by the threshold of his house, o litlos buba al taxi shalom, or to put up some doll on his taxi, kiotzebzeh, something like that. This is just superstition. A person who runs away from what is true is going to, in that vacuum, be exposed to tumah and be exposed to absorbing and embracing that which is superstitious, ridiculous, unbelievable. Kiotze yitzahara mesita likfar b'chol kodesh. That same evil inclination that led him to deny all that was sanctified, all that was holy, that is the same evil inclination that further pushes him to embrace and believe all sorts of fantastic, ridiculous things, superstitions, ideologies that make no sense, have no plausible believability, but the same Yetzirah pushes him in the vacuum that he's created to now embrace other ideologies of falsehood. So that is the nature. It's the same Yetzirah. How could somebody fall for that? It's the same path. The person chooses to run away from the Torah and reject it. That vacuum is going to expose them, and not just going to retain their objectivity and their uprightness just without the Torah. That's part of the bluff of the Yetzirah, that a person thinks maybe they'll be able to do that. It's not true. When there's the vacuum, the Yetzirah is not going to leave that vacuum empty. They're going to embrace things that are superstitious, that have no bearing in reality. I mean, look at idolatry. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But if people reject God, that's the Yetzirah is going to draw them to that. And that's the Ruach Tumah, the spirit of impurity, that bathes the person, leading them to this falsehood, which is unbelievable. But that's the consequence. That's what the Yetzirah does. They take away themselves from the Torah. The vacuum is not going to be empty. They're going to embrace falsehood.